thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. Lord, the entrance of your word, give it light. Give it understanding even unto the simple. Lord, we are simple before you. We ask, O Lord, that you enlighten us today in Jesus' name. We ask that there will be a building up in this house this morning. We ask that there will be a restoration in this place this morning. We ask that there is going to be a lifting up this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, after we've had your word, O Lord, it's not going to go to waste in our lives in Jesus' name. It's going to accomplish the purpose for which you are sending it for today in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' wonderful mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can we open our Bibles to the book of Genesis? The book of Genesis, chapter 26. I am going to read from verse 1 to 14. I want to believe that somebody is going to be encouraged today. And somebody is going to be positioned for greater things. I'm going to be talking to us about coming out of obscurity. Coming out of obscurity. Because, you know, the Bible tells us that when you light a lamp, you don't hide it. You don't hide it under your bed. You don't hide it in your cupboard. You put it in a place where people can see. And the Bible says we are the light of the world. You are not meant to be hidden. So you just go with me on the journey to Genesis chapter 26 from verse 1 to 14. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. And will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the men of the place asked him of his wife. And he said, she is my sister. For he feared to say, she is my wife. Less, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was feared to look upon. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw. And behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. The Bible said he's been there for a long time. And he was sporting with his wife, Rebekah. Some of us have been married for a year, some two, some five, some 10, some 15. Do you still sport with your wife? Do you still sport with your husband? You know what sporting means in that case? Isaac was still expressing his love in a playful manner. So they would still stay outside. If it was just in the room, the king would not have been able to observe them. So they were still playful with each other. We get so used to each other and we stop playing and stop expressing our love to each other. But that was not the case of Isaac. Isaac still adored Rebekah even after those years. Because the Bible said he had dwelt in that land for many, many years. He still adored Rebekah and was still touching her and said, go away, come here. You know, all those things that you do, that you were doing when you first started. And some of us thought it's gone. With Isaac, it was not so. He was still spotting. And so the king saw him. I'm sure we'll be doing that again. Praise the Lord. And it came to pass when he had been there. Verse 9. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of a sorty, she is thy wife. And how said thou, she is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, what is this thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. God will bless you to the point that people will envy you in Jesus' name. When they start to envy you, better start praying to God, because you have said amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, you've said amen. You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. And I know oftentimes we like to say that. We like to repeat this. That we are people that God has called out unto himself. Separated. Recognized. Set aside. Blessed. Determined to be ministers before the Almighty God. But the part we often don't look at is the second part that says that we should show forth the praise or the praises of him who had called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And this morning, one of the things that we learned from being new creation is that God has translated us from darkness into light. That is one of the things that takes place in our lives. There is a change of position. And when that change of position occurs, we are told that it's a change that occurs from the inside. After that change has occurred from inside, there is a manifestation outside. And I'm wanting us to know this morning or this afternoon that sometimes when we have come into contact with the Almighty God and he has wrought that miracle of change in our lives, sometimes God calls us to do more in order for us to realize our full potential in him. Otherwise, where God has called us into may not be fully manifest. We were told that we are the epistle that people read. The story that I've just read to us is the story of Isaac that many of us know very well.
The Bible makes us to understand that there was famine in the land, just like it happened in the days of his father Abraham. And of course, Isaac did what his father did. You remember, when famine came, Abraham packed his baggage and moved to where there was better supply. So when there was famine again, his son did what? He packed his baggage and moved to a place where there was better supply. He goes to tell us how much our children will copy us in the way we handle things, in the way we sort out things, in the way we look for solution. If in the time of trouble we are used to cutting and running, that is exactly what our children will do, because that is what they have learned from us. And I want to let you know that what the world is teaching today is to cut and run. Once it looks like it's hard, they do what? They cut and run. But you know what? The Bible told us something about Isaac. Even when Isaac got to that land, it was not as if the famine eased immediately. The Bible said he dwelt there for many years. And I'm telling you that one of the attributes of Christianity that is in short supply, and I keep repeating this, is endurance and patience. But the Bible says, let patience have her perfect work. So after we have been obedient to everything that God has asked us to do so that we may reap of the reward. So in other words, it's not enough to be obedient to what God has commanded us to do. We must also have patience. But that's not where I'm going. Isaac found himself in a strange land, and he had to endure many years of obscurity and bondage. The Bible tells us that he had a wife, Rebecca, who was very fair to look at. In other words, his wife was very, very beautiful. And he could not enjoy the company of his wife the way he would have loved to. Why? Because he found himself in a situation whereby he could not openly express his love to his wife. And I like the way the Bible put it. If you read verse 7, and the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, she is my sister. For he feared to say, she is my wife. Lest, look at the next phrase there. Lest, said he. Who said so? Him. It was Isaac who said in his heart to himself, lest the people of the land kill me for my wife. It was not God who told him to say that. It was not God who said to him that the people of the land were going to kill you. He assessed the situation, and he came to a conclusion that the people of the land might want to kill him if he identified himself as the husband of Rebekah. And so he said to himself, I better tell them that she is my sister. Again, he did exactly what his father did when he was in similar situation. This is what happens when we allow fear to rule our lives. As children of God, remember that when Isaac moved, he did not move on his own. He moved with the backing of God and the instruction of God, and God had actually given him the promises that he gave to Abraham. He repeated the same promise to Isaac, yet he was afraid. We may have all the promises of God upon our lives, And we may not be able to fully enjoy the promises of God and have them manifested in our lives when we become afraid. When we allow fear to rule our lives. Instead of looking at the promise, we look at our circumstance. Instead of looking at the word of God, we look at the things we can see around us. We often forget what God has said he was going to do. When we become overwhelmed by the circumstance of life. Let's open to Genesis chapter 40 verse 15. There was another man that God had spoken to. God showed him in a dream what his future was going to be like. Genesis 40 verse 15. He said, "For truly I was carried away from the land of the Hebrews by unlawful force, and here too I have done nothing for which they should put me into the dungeon." You know who is speaking here? That is Joseph. He was bemoaning his circumstance and his situation. Momentarily, he had forgotten the dream. I don't know what dream God has given you for your life. And as you study the word of God, I don't know what word God has given you or what word has been spoken into your life. Have you forgotten those things that God has said concerning you? Do you allow your current circumstance to dictate how you look at God's word and what God has said he's going to do? As children of God, if we are not careful, fear is one of the things that can keep us in obscurity. Fear is the thing that can stop us from manifesting the glory of God. Because the Bible says the reason he has called you a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, is that so you can show forth his praise. And if we are going to show forth the praise of God, we are not going to be hidden in our rooms and be showing forth the glory of God. We are not going to be hidden in our problems and the challenges of life and be able to show forth the glory of God. We have to go beyond our circumstance and look beyond them and see the promise of God for our lives. For many years, the destiny of Isaac was closed in a barrel. It was hidden, and he was living like the rest of the people. He was living in the land. Because there was still famine in the land. He was living like everyone else. And I want to tell you that there are many of us Christians who live like everyone else. Many of us live like everyone else. And we expect that things will be different. We expect that the glory of God will be manifest in our lives. If the glory of God is going to be manifest in our lives, we better live like children of the Most High God who have a covenant upon their lives. Open with me to Acts chapter 17, verse 5 and 6. I want to read something and share with you there. The Bible says, "But the unbelieving Jews were aroused to jealousy. And getting hold of some wicked men, ruffians and rascals, and loungers in the marketplace, they gathered together a mob, set the town in uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring Paul and Silas out to the temple." Look at verse 6. "But when they had failed to find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brethren before the city authorities, crying." Can we read the last part together? "These men, who have turned the world upside down have come here also. Who are they referring to? The apostles. Do you turn the world around you upside down? In other words, do you make a change in the light of the gospel you carry? Do you make a change? Or do you just live in conformity with the world? Isaac found himself there. He was living in conformity. And so he was living in obscurity. He had to do all that he had to do to survive, so he thought. So when do Christians become people who just, you know, we go with the flow? We don't want to rock the boat. But that was not the story of the people that led the way that we are following. By reason of the way they held on to the gospel, the people classified them as the people who turned the world upside down. They bring about a change wherever they find themselves. You are going to bring about a change in Jesus' name. It's going to start from our homes. That will bring change to our homes. We'll bring change to our place of work. We'll bring change to the lives of our friends. We'll bring change to people who come in contact with us. Not just conforming to the way of the world. I'm telling you, there's a way the gospel can be preached and nobody will need to change. Everybody will be comfortable the way they are. That is not what God has sent you and I to do. Isaac found himself in that place. Survivor took priority. And so, nothing was happening. And nothing was happening. But I want to tell you something. That the plan of God for your life is not for the things that God has promised you to remain a dream. God wants to bring it to reality. And if you are not going to step out, it's not going to become the reality that God intends it to be. If we are not going to be different, it is not going to be the reality that God wants it to be. In Acts chapter 12, verse 7 and 9, when the glory of God came unto Peter, came into Peter's life, and he was delivered, the Bible said he did not know, he thought it was a dream. He did not know that what has happened in his life was a reality. When God is set to take you from obscurity to the limelight, you may not even believe what is happening to you. Things may happen either too rapidly or they go beyond your plans or they don't go according to your own plans and you begin to wonder whether it's a dream or you are living in reality. And like I've said before, if we are going to be there, we must not allow fear to rule our life. One of the things that can keep us in obscurity is when we continue to listen to the wrong people. You know, there are some people, you bring a cup to them, they will tell you it is 1% empty. Instead of saying it is 99% full, they will tell you it is 1% empty. When you listen to such people, you are not going to be whom God wants you to be until you recognize that that is not where you ought to be. Open with me to Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 to 16. Isaiah 41, 10 to 16. He said, "Fear not. There's nothing to fear, for I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties." I like that. What did he say? I will strengthen you and do what? And harden you to difficulties. It's not as if challenges will not come. But God says he's going to harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of rightness and justice. Behold, all they who are enraged and inflamed against you shall be put to shame and confounded. They who strive against you shall be as nothing and shall perish. You shall seek those who contend with you, but shall not find them. They who war against you shall be as nothing at all. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. I am the Lord who says to you, fear not, I will help you. Fear not, you warm Jacob. You men of Israel, I will help you, says the Lord. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make you to be a new sharp threshing instrument which has teeth. You shall thresh the mountains and beat them small and shall make the hills like chaff. Do you hear what God is saying concerning you today? He's saying that the challenges of your life, he's going to harden you against them. And he referred to Jacob. How did he refer to Jacob? He said Jacob was like a worm. In other words, Jacob was feeble. He was powerless. He was without, you know, he was without wisdom. He was without grace. He was without authority. He was nothing, basically. And what did God say concerning him? He said, I will make of you a plow instrument, and you will break mountains. You will turn them to sand to the point that the wind can blow it away. In other words, what are these mountains? What are these problems? What are these challenges of your life? He says he was going to make you a plow instrument that will turn this, you know, these troubles, these challenges of your life into nothing. And when you look back, you will wonder, why were you even afraid in the first place? God says he wants to take somebody from obscurity into limelight. Some of us are afraid. Even to put ourselves forward into the service of God. We think, oh yes, I don't know enough to do what God has called me to do. But God is saying he will make you a plow instrument. He is the one to do it. It's not you. Something transformed the life of Isaac. We often talk about the fact that Isaac sowed and he reaped 100-fold. The Bible said in that year there was famine. And Isaac did what? He sowed. If you are going to rise from obscurity to where God wants you to be, God wants you to sow in the year of your famine. Common sense will tell us to conserve that which we have. Famine does not come alone. Famine doesn't come alone. Do you realize that? In anywhere there's famine, there's usually something causing that famine. It's either there's drought or something. You know, there will be something going on. And people will have sold their properties, they will have expended the things they have. That's why there's famine. So it doesn't just come as one thing. So there's a general lack when there is famine. So there's a tendency for you to conserve that which you have and not be willing to let go. The one who will come into limelight must be ready in the midst of difficulties to let go. Must be willing to sow in famine. Remember that the land is dry without rain. The land is not yielding. If the land is yielding, there will be no famine. But yet, the man who is going to come into limelight must trust God to sow when others are afraid to sow. Otherwise, he will remain in obscurity. And Isaac sowed that same year, the year of famine and drought, the year of lack and uncertainty, the year of trouble and challenges, the year of tribulations and falls. He sowed that year. The reason many of us are afraid to sow is because we think we already have enough. If you are not satisfied with where you are, if you think God can do more in your life, you will learn to sow. You will follow the principle of Isaac and you will sow. This year, 2009, can be described as one of those years of famine in the world, isn't it? Oh, yeah. It was a year of financial downturn. And everything turned upside down. And I remember we were praying here. We prayed for members of this church that none of them will lose their means of livelihood. And God has been faithful. He sustained us. At least to my knowledge, I'm not aware of anyone who lost their means of livelihood this year. We need to be a people. If we are going to get our Rehoboth, we need to be a people who will sow in the midst of famine and not be contented with where we are. I'm going to share just two more things with us before we go. And I want us to open to Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 10 and 11. Jeremiah 8, 10 and 11. God has been talking to me about something. If you are going to rise from obscurity, I believe I have a role and an obligation there too. He said, therefore will I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For everyone from the least even unto the greatest is given to covetousness, from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. Look at verse 11. They have healed the heart of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Can you see what I'm seeing? What the Bible is saying is this. Some people will live below their potential. For two reasons. One, if they will not live in line with God's principles and words, if we will not live in obedience to Him, we will live below our potentials. Some of us go to places where we hear words that will tickle our ears. But the fullness of our potential will be realized only when we know the word of God and know it fully. Not just the blessing aspect of it. So some people just get a tip and they think it's okay. The other thing that may deprive people from reaching their full potential is when they will refuse to harness the resources that God puts at their disposal. The Bible said, and this prophet healed the people of God lightly. In other words, the people, the land could have been healed better than the way it was. In other words, you could be in a better place than where you are. In other words, God has set his mind to put you at a particular place, but you are not there yet because we live in an environment that is polluted. He said, not even the priest. And this is why I keep warning us. I said, you be careful who is going to put their hands on your head to bless you. It's a spiritual matter. Otherwise, they put a ceiling on your blessings. He said, lightly, for they have healed the heart of my daughter, of the daughter of my people slightly. So already, they go home excited. They think they are everything that they could be. But God is saying, no, I want to take you to a place of greater height. And he will take you today in the mighty name of Jesus. The other thing that I want to share with us is this. If we are going to rise from obscurity, is that there are spiritual laws. that guide the lives of people who will yield results. What do I mean? The salvation we get is by grace, free of charge. But getting to your full potential in Him means we have to live within the principles that govern the kingdom. Because the goods of the kingdom is distributed according to certain principles. And if we don't live by those principles, we cannot be where God wants us to be. Of course, we know that faith is one of those. That's why Jesus told us in Mark 11, verse 22 and 23, that we should have God's own kind of faith. The kind of faith that spoke the world into existence without looking back, without being in doubt whether it was going to come to pass or not. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, it says we should be imitators of who? Of Christ. If we are going to rise from obscurity and be who God wants us to be, we have to be imitators of Jesus Christ Himself. Because for many of us, men have disappointed us for so long. And like I've told us, we must be people who are willing to sow in the times of famine. Of course, you know, I'm not just talking about sowing in money. I'm talking about sowing yourself. Because that was the people, what the people of Macedonia did. First of all, they sowed themselves to the Lord. And then other things followed. Can we just rise on our feet? I want to believe that there's somebody who is going to turn their world upside down today. I want to believe that there's going to be somebody who is going to sow themselves to the Lord today so that they can rise from obscurity. There are millions out there. We are yet to convert them. We are not rising from obscurity. So long as our neighbors are still not, don't yet know Christ, our light is not shining yet. When our light starts to shine, people who come in contact with us will not be the same again. Can somebody just begin to speak to the Lord and say, Father, take me out of obscurity from today. I want to shine. I want to shine for you. I want to be the light that you say I am. Perhaps you are in a situation where your heart is healed very lightly and you seem satisfied and you don't know you can be greater than what you are already doing. The Lord is having me tell you this afternoon that He hasn't started with you yet, that better times are yet to come, that greater times are yet to come. You just want a release and a surrender. You are rising from obscurity today. In Jesus' name. I say in Jesus' name. Please, can we have the elements? As you know, today is the last Sunday of the month. Can we have the elements, please? While we take this other prayer. We are going to ask God . We're going to say, every fear in my life that will not allow me to rise and be who you want me to be, today, I begin to rule over them in Jesus' name. Begin to speak. Every fear in my life that will not allow me to rise to be who you want me to be, I begin to rule over them from today. You begin to rule over the fears and the difficulties of your life, over every doubt, over every uncertainty.
People will ask you, how do you know? You will say, because Jesus said so. Because the Bible said so. Because I know his promises are yea and amen. That becomes your testimony from today. You are going to begin to rise from the ashes of doubt, disgrace, and fear and failure. As you look forward to the future, it's within your reach. Because you are rising. You are rising. You are rising. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Please, can we take the bread round? And then, as usual, when you take it, you just chew the bread and hold on to the wine. Please take the wine around too. Hold on to the wine, and we're going to drink in unison. As you take it, I want you to begin to pray to the Lord. We have already prayed. We have said, as many as will eat of this. As God said, he's going to make you a plow instrument, and you will beat mountains into pits and pieces. That is going to be your lot today as you partake of this Holy Communion. Begin to speak to the Lord. Say, Father, let every mountain in my life be leveled by reason of what you are making me. Let every mountain become leveled today in the mighty name of Jesus by reason of what you are making me. You are making me a plow instrument. You are making me an instrument of righteousness. Therefore, let every mountain become leveled. Let every mountain become leveled in the mighty name of Jesus. Yes, you are a plow instrument. Like Jacob, maybe you are a worm. God is saying, I'm making something mighty out of you. God is saying, I'm making something mighty out of your life. The one who is able to call those things that be not as though they were, is saying of you that you begin to do the things you were not able to do before. You begin to rise from obscurity. Fear will not rule your life. Uncertainty will no longer rule your life. You'll be sure because the word of God has said so. You can say with certainty because the word of God has said it. You walk into your divine places. You walk into your divine assignment. You walk into your divine destinies. You walk into your divine possessions. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Let's drink in unison. I want you to begin to thank God because you have received every of your petition that you have lifted before him. Begin to thank God for it. Begin to thank God. The faith in him will lift you from obscurity. It will take you to that place where God wants you to be. I just want to thank you, Father, for that which you have done. I want to thank you, Lord, for repositioning, for promotion, for encouragement, for hope, for joy everlasting, for strength, for building up, for vision. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for healing. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we thank you for your word that has come today. Lord, you intend to do something in somebody's life. And that is why the word has come. Let everyone that needs to be broken free today in Jesus' name. Let everyone that needs repositioning be repositioned in Jesus' name. Let everyone that needs restoration be restored today in Jesus' name. Lord, heal the sick and give vision to the one that is confused in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can we